This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Top 500 treads water.
And new chips look to the future.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of HPC Wire Soundbite for November 19th, 2013, live from the Supercomputing 13 trade show in Denver. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined again by Michael Feldman, my co-analyst at Intersect 360 Research. How's it going, Michael?
Very well. Very well.
We've made it through one full day, but we've been going for days here all weekend. How are you holding up?
Yeah, okay so far. Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot going on for just basically one day of SC.
The show starts earlier and earlier. They're advertising this, the 25th anniversary of supercomputing. It started in 1988, and they've had special recognition for people who've been to all 25.
Yeah, this is a silver anniversary for them, and yep, it's there was a few people, there were very few people that have been here for all 25, but there was a little celebration to get all those guys together.
I actually have a minor quibble with this. If it started in 88 and now it's 2013, which is 25 years later, doesn't that make this the 26th supercomputing conference?
It does. This is the 26th conference, but it's the 25th anniversary.
Right. So, but are we celebrating people who've been to all 26 then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're just sort of fudging that part?
Well, I mean, yes. But it's the 25th anniversary.
So. The 25th anniversary is the 26th conference.
Yeah.
And it's also the nth top 500 list coming out now. We didn't see that many changes.
No, we're sort of like we had said last week, we're sort of in between big system deployments. So we saw one new system in the top 10 this year.
One new system was the PSTent system in Switzerland, coming
right.
in at number 6.
Number 6, and it was a little over 6 petaflops. And it's actually, it turns out that's now the fastest supercomputer, Limpac-wise, in Europe.
Fastest in Europe, and that's a Cray system.
That's a Cray system with NVIDIA help, NVIDIA Tesla help.
Any other news coming out of the top 500?
There might be little things we could, little factoids to discern from that list, but it's a much bigger aggregate list now. It adds up to 250 petaflops if you aggregate the whole list, which is quite a bit, considering what it was just a
quarter of a way to an exaflop then,
yeah.
If we add up 500 computers. You just got to put them all on one network.
Put them all together, and yeah, we'll be at an exaflop pretty soon, but slowly making our way up there, but I think next time we'll see a few more new systems in the top 10 as maybe some of these other systems gear up.
I think one of the more interesting things coming out of the conversation is that Jack Dungara, one of the big minds behind Top 500, is starting to let out some of the details of this next generation benchmark they're looking at, the HPCG, High Performance Conjugate Gradient Benchmark, which is supposed to be the new generation of Top 500 updated a little more for modern workloads.
Right. This looks more, and instead of just Limpac, which is a pretty simple algorithmic thing for linear algebra, this exercises a lot more data access patterns and different types of algorithms rather than just that. So people have obviously been criticizing Limpac for quite a while now. So this is sort of in reaction to that there needs to be a more comprehensive benchmark to measure the actual performance of these things relating to scientific and technical computing. So this is what this attempt is.
Meanwhile, as we previewed last Friday, the actual systems news seemed to be relatively light. The major vendors not really coming out with surprising new systems. There was one interesting one where you got to participate in the launch event last night on Monday with RSC introducing Pedestream.
Right. RSC Group, a Russian system builder and designer, came out with Pedestream. Now, they've been mainly selling into Russia, but they're also looking at Europe, and they're also even considering the America. And they came out, like you just said, with Pedestream, which is a very dense, high-performance system, relies a lot on Xeon Phis to get the performance up.
They have kind of a jaw-dropping headline that goes along with it.
Right. I mean, a fully loaded rack of these things at the high end can give you a petaflop in a rack.
So this is the first time I can think of seeing the headline petaflop in a rack.
Right.
It looked to me when I got briefed on it, they may be cheating a little bit that the rack is a little bit big for a rack, but not alarmingly so.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but basically it fits in, you know, a meter square. You can put this thing up to the ceiling. All of a sudden, yeah, you've got a petaflop in a very small footprint. Now, this is very dense. The modules, they stuff these into very dense modules, and they have quite a number of the Xeon 5s they can put in there, obviously, because each one of those is a mere teraflop. So you need quite a few of them. But
I remember the days when a petaflop was a lot of computing.
Yeah,
it didn't fit into a single rack.
That doesn't seem that long ago, does it? So, but that was big news, and there was a good crowd there. People were looking at that, and they're very high on this, and they're looking to sell this certainly into Russia. They've got some nibbles already, and some people also in Europe looking at it, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Well, that was good that you were able to participate in that launch and cover it. Let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about one of the areas where we are seeing some of the new news coming out on the chip side.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance, leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology. Users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
So, Michael, also as we previewed last Friday, we did expect to see some news coming out on the chip side, and we did see some there, starting with the NVIDIA's launch of the Kepler K40.
Right, NVIDIA announced the K40, which is the next generation of their Kepler architecture.
The Tesla, GPU, right.
The Kepler generation. They've upped the core count, and the other nice thing is they upped the total aggregate, or the memory for that board, which they doubled from 6 gigabytes to 12 gigabytes, which will enable a lot more applications to fit into that space. But they also upped the flops a bit because they added some more of the GPU cores. And I think it's a little over 1.4 teraflops for that single processor, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, and the NVIDIA booth, I'll tell you what, is the one that probably has the most traffic going on so far, just from my casual inspection of the show floor. And Sumit Gupta referred to it as their desire to have a conference within a conference. They've kind of like constant presentations going on in their booth, and maybe the most impressive thing is they'll have 20 sessions simultaneously of people doing these CUDA programming workshops live in the booth going around the clock.
How's that for parallel programming, huh?
Yeah, exactly. they're doing a parallel programmers.
Yeah, and they had other news, like we talked about CUDA 6 last week, and they're talking about their power and GPU collaboration as well. So they have actually a lot of news coming out, and you're right, the booth was well populated today.
Also, on the CPU side, Intel wasn't completely without any kind of announcement. They're letting a little bit of news out with regards to Knight's Landing.
Right, that's their next generation Xeon Phi. Now, it's not coming out yet. That's going to come out with their 14 nanometer process technology, which presumably is, you know, we're talking a year or so from today. But they let out a little bit more about what that processor is about. And like they implied, last year, several months ago, it's going to be a standalone, or it can be a standalone processor. It doesn't have to be a coprocessor anymore. It's going to fit into a socket, and they're calling it their first many-core CPU.
Yeah, that was the impressive thing to me, is that you take this, what was really a follow-on to the Larrabee project to begin with, and then forward into the eventual productization of Xeon Phi, and now we're discussing it not as a coprocessor, but as a processor unto itself.
Exactly. Now, they will have a configuration as a coprocessor, so they're going to have a board there, presumably with PCI connections, but they see this homogeneous many-core CPU as the way forward in the long term, so that's where they're headed, and we're going to see that, you know, relatively soon now, and I think this will be quite an interesting development, it'll simplify the programming model, certainly even more so, since they're going to be on, they'll have local memory, but they're also going to have unified memory on the system side as well, that they're going to be able to access. So it's quite a move forward, and I think that'll get quite a bit of traction when it comes out.
Sure. So Intel not matching the current press release news with a new processor coming out like the Kepler K40, but nevertheless some intriguing ideas for the future. And then you found one more processor getting announced that maybe deserves to be part of the discussion.
Yeah, this is sort of the dark horse. I mean, they didn't make a big deal about it, but Micron, the memory maker, has come out with something somewhat unique. It's an automata processor. Now, there have been automata processors before in years past. They've done this based on some of their DRAM memory technology, and they've squeezed a little logic in there, and so they've got this non-von Neumann processor that you can program more or less like an FPGA. It's reconfigurable, and you set it up to do your application in a sort of low-level way. You pump in regular expressions, or there's different ways to program it, but it's mostly low-level.
When I think of Micron, I tend to free associate primarily to 3D memory technology,
right,
and some of the stuff we're seeing there. We might talk about that more later, but is this just opportunistic? We've got this memory structure that's getting underutilized, and we might as well tack a processing element next to it?
Yeah, I think this came out. I mean, they're heavily leveraging their DRAM technology. It's based a lot on that, and but I think they talked to their customers as well and some of the problems they were having. And this is basically going to be for people doing, you know, sort of deep searching and analysis in parallel, you know, highly parallel searches. And, you know, when I talked to the people there today, they were talking about some of the customers that would be interested were the security agencies, certainly, that are doing, as we all well know, are doing quite extensive searches on very large data sets. And this kind of processor does it, you know, not like a CPU. I mean, this is much less power and much faster than a standalone CPU. I think it's basically an order of magnitude faster with just a fraction of the power to do the same sorts of algorithms for these types of searching. So a very interesting processor, and right now it's sort of at the development kit stage, but they're going to productize it and going to make it at least generally available for experimental use. I think a lot of universities are going to pick up on this and start playing with it, and certainly the security agencies, I think, already have versions of this.
We're halfway through the Supercomputing Conference in Denver. We're holding up good. Denver's a great city. I like being here. The Bayo Bash last night was a ton of fun at the Wine Coop Pool Hall. I lost in the semifinals, though. I couldn't go all the way to the end in the nine-ball tournament.
Hey, you put up a good fight there. You were doing well, better than I would have done.
And now we know we have more news to do, but let's wrap this podcast. We'll come back with another special supercomputing podcast by the end of the week, where I know we're going to want to pick up some of the storage news, particularly new storage products from Xyratex and NetApp getting announced this week. So we'll pick that up and other storage-related news. There's still a lot of big data theme going on at this year's supercomputing, and we'll want to include that as part of the wrap.
That sounds good. And yeah, we've got most of the conference to go, but yeah, we'll pick up whatever comes up here and tell you about it on Thursday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.